Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Naked Departure Talk Show. This show is live and interactive, and we invite the audience to join the discussion. You can call into the studio by clicking on the Skype button which appears on the show page, or by calling us on 1-914-205-5805. Alternatively, you can post your questions or comments in the chat room, which also appears on the show page. Thank you for tuning in. The management of Naked Departure Talk Show does not represent, endorse, or validate any views, opinions, products, or services promoted on this show.
Hello, good morning. Today is Saturday, September 17th, 2016. This is Sherry Veronica, and with me in studio today is old co-host Patricia. She will be joining me to speak on children issues in Barbados. When we look at what is happening now, and when we see ministers of government saying, not me, and they're washing their hands clean of the children issues in Barbados, because there are many, children are out of control. They're having sexual intercourse for money. They know how to exchange this for that. And these things are happening in primary schools. When I label this particular show that the black man's job to destroy the black female continues, it's not about black men. It's not really about blame, because every time I have Pat on the line, she pulls me up and tells me, don't blame this body, don't blame that one, put it right back on the female, put it on the mother, put it on where it should go. So it's not really blame. We are looking to talk as elders to see what we can do. It may be a mission impossible, if this we have acknowledged to ourselves, but we still need to talk, because there's still breath left within us. So when I say that the black man's job to destroy the black female, I see the black man as being the head of the household and the female as being the giver of life. And when there is such dysfunction in black families, we don't care what's going on in the white and the Asia, we're talking about, this is home drums beating here. When we see the dysfunction in families, black families, where does that dysfunction end up? It has to end up at the doorstep of the kids. It has to fall on their shoulders. It has to enslave their minds. When you can have young children saying, so what if my teacher skins out? I am a young man and I have to have my fantasies, and she provides that fantasy for me. When you can have young children standing outside the most expensive resort, selling their services. When you can have a child coming to school with money that no one could account for it, because they're carrying way too much cash. Even people working a full week does not have that money. So where does that child get that money from? And when you have children being sexually abused in the home and are fractured at young ages, when these things are happening, and then the ministries that are supposed to be the gatekeepers, the people who look after these things to try to make sure these things don't happen, when they can pull out that proverbial water mug and in public wash their hands, big soap lather, and washing their hands clear of it, saying, not me. Do not blame me for the dysfunction. Do not blame me for the worthless children. Do not blame me for the hard-headed children. When you have ministers washing their hands, when you have mothers going to the school half naked to pick up their children, and the headmasters are saying, we have to have a dress code for parents. We're not even dealing with dress codes for the teachers. We need to have a dress code so that when parents come through those gates to pick up their children, that they look presentable. When these things are happening, where do we go? Patricia, welcome into the studio.
Thank you, Pat. Welcome, listeners. It's great to be back here again. Yes, Sherry, it's a very bad day for the youth of Barbados, not only males, but females. And rightly so, the minister who said do not blame him, I cannot say that I disagree with him. I agree with him 110%. At the end of the day, he's going to look at it as they're not my kids. And if the parents who've brought them forth into this world does not have the time to invest and to nurture them, why should I? So I don't blame him. At the end of the day, we as parents have to accept responsibility for our kids' actions. Because why? We did not nurture them. I mean, we have 15-year-old girls that are giving birth to babies. And 2 years later, another baby. And another 12 months later, another baby. And you have grandparents then who are actually 30 years. I mean, 30 years, how can you instill any value in your daughters when you're having her, you know, live this type of life without trying to have that child, because to me it's still a child, because still a teenager, to aspire to be someone greater in life? We are sending the wrong messages. We are sitting with our kids and smoking marijuana, drinking alcohol, going into the parties with them, dressing in the pom-pom shorts, skinning out, you know, because we want to walk up more than our daughter. We're not setting examples. We are actually tearing our children down. So when an athlete or a minister says, do not blame me, we can't be upset, because we as the mother, we as parents, we as elders are not setting an example for these kids.
Okay, so you are saying that we as parents, we as ministers, we as elders are not setting an example. So it does go further than being a parent, because we know, you and I both know, that you can instill the best values in your children and they can go out and get with the wrong crowd. And to you as a parent, it seems as though every penny, every word, every hour, every minute went right through the window.
Yes, Sherry, that happens in some cases, but not all cases. If you lay the foundation, for example, you build a house, okay? You build it, at some point in time, the foundation will crack, but everything does not come tumbling down, because you still can repair it and it will come back. So when we instill values in our kids and we nurture them and we love them and we continue to ring in their ear, this is not the way to go. Yes, there are times that kids, because we were kids too. And if I stand here and say that I have never made mistakes and I have not done things that my parents did not know about, I'd be lying.
Mm-hmm.
But I never did anything that my parents would be so ashamed of. Yes, I stole my dad's car and went joyriding with my friends. Yes. But here is this. You can have kids that you instill values in, and they're going to do some wicked things, but not things that they're going to regret for the rest of their lives, not things that are going to, you know, impact on their future.
But see, okay, that example you gave just now was beautiful. You stole your dad's car and went joyriding with your friends. And then you said it's not impacting your life long term. But let's say you had done what you just said you did, and you crashed and killed a couple people, that whole scenario changes, and you have to understand that these are the scenarios we are looking at in Barbados. We are looking at crash victims. We are looking at people who are – the example I'm trying to make is that the worst scenario, the worst that can happen is happening in Barbados.
It is.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
It is.
Okay.
And that's exactly why I drew your attention to my example, okay? I know after that, okay, I took the car that night, and I thought I got over on my parents, but I didn't. My dad knew, and he pulled me up on it. I knew it was wrong. The same thing you just said, what if I had gone out there and killed someone? I'd have to live with that for the rest of my life. All right? So I learned a lesson, and I didn't do it again. But what I'm saying is to come back to your point of, yes, we will all do things at
mm-hmm.
some point in time in our life as young people, but not things that will impact the rest of our life in
mm-hmm.
a way that it destroys any hope for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We have, in Barbados, you got the transport board and you have the ZR and the ZR van. Any given morning, look and see who are the customers of the ZR van while half of these kids should be in school. Because they don't want to get on the transport board bus. They want to be on these ZR vans playing the most vulgarest music by Vibes Cartel
mm-hmm.
and all these people that have made money off of them. Right? And they're in this minibus and the damn conductor and the bus driver has no respect for them. Oh, sit down, you so-and-so here. Let me feel you up. Let me feel up your pom-pom. This a bunch of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Those people, the conductor and the driver, should be held responsible. Because that's pure lewdness that you're impacting on a minor. Right? Would you like someone to do that to your kid? You should be. Instead of the value, listen, you have plenty more years of being an adult than being a child. So enjoy your childhood while you can.
Exactly.
Not be in this bus when you not be in this ZR van when you're supposed to be in school. And I knew that this was happening from years and years ago. There was a group back in, the 80s. Called MAD. I can't remember the name, but it was PC Brooms. And everybody was laughing and making fun. Oh, when he was speaking about the school children. And, the school girl was like, PC Brooms, you need to go do this. Adults were laughing at it. We didn't stop to think about the message that we were sending to our kids, that it's okay. It's not. It's not. It is not okay. It's not okay. We need to educate our kids. We need to instill values in them. We need to give them all the tools in this world to go out and be someone successful in life. Yes, not all of us are going to be attorneys. Not all of us are going to be lawyers. Yeah, it doesn't matter where you go to school. You don't have to be the brightest bulb in the pack. You don't have to be a minister. You don't have to be prime minister. But whatever you do, you can do it brilliantly. You can be the greatest mechanic. You can be the greatest baker. You can be the best tailor. There's so many things. But we have to want our kids to aspire to be greater than we are. And we're not doing that. We are failing them. What happens to it takes a village to raise a child? Growing up in my era, we had to respect our elders. You think if we're walking down the street and it's way past the time that we're supposed to be home and you walk up the street and Miss Lawrence sees you out there and she's like, why is your uniform like that? Why are you walking this way when you're supposed? Why are you coming through that track? Why are you coming from there? Why are you in this shop? You need to go home. You couldn't look at her in the wrong way because she'd tar your behind. You ran down the street crying. Miss Seeley would see you crying. She'd, what happened to you? That's another beating. I'm not saying that beatings are correct. I'm just saying that there was discipline. And you knew that you could not give your elders back chat. But no, you have parents. So don't put your hand on my so-and-so child. If you go up to the school with that attitude towards teachers, and I'm not saying that the teachers are correct, but if you go to the school with that attitude to the teachers, the first thing the teachers are going to say, well, I got my education ready. I don't give a rat's behind about anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
We can't be wrong and strong.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard about this school girl that she was being taunted and she was being laughed at because the school bag she was carrying had no logos on it. It was not a trademark. It was just a cheap
name brand
school bag. It was not name
mm-hmm.
brand, no. And, you know, did you hear about that? It just shows that no matter, it doesn't matter the school, it doesn't matter who that particular person is, it just shows that even during school time, when kids are still very young, that prejudice is there, that classism is there. Everything is there that is ripe for when they get older. It's a war to create a civil war because it has to implode. How much longer can a system that hates itself survive? How much longer?
It can't survive much longer. It cannot survive much longer. And this is what we as parents have to understand. Our kids are the leaders of tomorrow. Our kids are the leaders of tomorrow. We can't just look and say, well, hey, my child, I don't care. We have to be responsible for each other's child. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. We can't look at the child and say, oh, it's a lost cause. We have to continue to try. We have to continue to try.
But it seems
matter.
As though the people, it seems as though the children that were the bullies and the children that had criminal intent in their minds, they are the ones who become policemen. They are the ones who become politicians. They are the ones who are ruling and running things. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know of anyone, you know, that has a criminal background that is a policeman or a politician.
No, I'm saying that there were the bullies of time past, and I'm saying that there were the ones. You and I both know of a particular politician right now that, you know, has been stung a couple times. It has been said that her mother was a kleptomaniac. You cannot leave anything laying around. It's gone. And the father was put in some compromising positions in his political tenure. So we do know of people that are in government right now that when you go back to the childhood history and you hear of them being gang raped, promiscuous, whatever, they're top tier now. They're top tier.
Yeah, there are some people who have gotten away with stuff, but they have changed their lives around. And that's what I'm saying. We can't say because, and point. We have to aspire to be greater. So what if your mother was a prostitute? It does not mean you have to be a prostitute. So what if your father was a thief? It does not mean you have to be a thief. You just
But what if it means that? Because
my example shows... Uh-huh. It does not.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know people who their parents were alcoholics. They're not alcoholics. They don't go near alcohol because they look at their parents and say, I aspire to be greater than my parents. I don't want to walk in their footsteps. I've learned from my parents' mistakes, so I won't do that. The aspiration has to be there. And we have to help them aspire.
Okay, so my point is, when we have these ministers and we can branch out, when we have ministers of government and people within the ministries, like, you know, the Ministry of Education, and different things that we are hearing about that is happening in Barbados, and we know of certain backgrounds, we cannot say that they have learned from their family because, in a sense, they are no better than what we have heard of their family's background. It is like a pea in a pod. So in this particular case, I don't think that anyone has overcome certain barriers that their parents had. I don't think in this particular case that we are talking about, not a particular case, but the scenario that we are given here for Barbados, I don't think that any of the leaders can be looked at, the ones in charge. I do not think that any of them can be looked at and say, you know what, I can see where this person pulled away from the little stench or the little glitch in their family. It seems as though they have perfected whatever glitches their family had, and they are doing very well for themselves.
Okay,
and the
Sherry,
children and the children
right.
and the children have to suffer, still suffer.
Okay, but you came right back to what I'm saying. There's some people, it's just like I just said, you have parents that gave birth at 15, and then their 15-year-old daughters continue. No one is looking to break the cycle. And my message to the youth is, you've got to break the cycle. You cannot continue going around in a circle.
How?
Sherry, to be aspire to be greater, you look at the mistake that someone else make. You look at the mistake that your parents made, your grandparents made, and said, I don't want to live this type of life. You are living in poverty. Okay, you tell me that the young lady with the book bag, too much emphasis is being placed on material things. So here, you have a child, it could be male or female, coming up in an environment. You're looking all around you, and you're seeing all the adults doing these things. You know it's wrong. And you have to look and say, well, I'm living in poverty. I got up this morning. My mama's got 7 babies by 7 daddies. I got to go to school because I'm hungry. There's no food on the table. I got to come home to be hungry. This is not the life I want. So here, I'm going to go to school on this hungry belly, and I'm going to try my effort best. I might not get everything, but to grasp everything that I can, I can better myself.
There's a program in Washington State, and Washington State is a very progressive state, especially for women and children. They focus on their women for some reason. I like it there. And there's a program that they have spent millions of dollars on research, and they said that there is absolutely, and this is what they found from their research, there's no way children that are poverty-stricken and are hungry, there's no way they excel in school. If they are excelling in school, it means someone is pitying them and giving them food. But if you're hungry, it shows that hungry children do not learn. And children that do not learn turn to criminal activities at a young age. These things are being studied, and they have the data to go with it. And, you know, you have to look at that. It's not something that they're pulling out their ass. They're studying it. They're looking at inner city kids, and they're saying once that child is hungry, once the child is poor to the point that they are hungry, they're not going to learn. How do you speak to that?
Well, I will say this. I volunteered in a lot of inner city schools here in the U.S. because, as you know, I'm a mother. I have volunteered in hospitals. I have volunteered in nursing homes. I've volunteered, you know, pre-sense thing. I've volunteered in schools, and I've known of kids from inner city that came to school because the only thing they were going to get was the school meal. And they came to school and they got breakfast and they excel. You have to hunger. Look, we have this thing, you know, I hear all these young people saying, oh, you thirsty. Yeah, you're thirsty, but you're thirsty for all the wrong things. You're thirsty for all the wrong things. You're thirsty because you want the pair of Jordans. So you're going to exchange your body with some old, swivelly, smelly man or some old, swivelly, smelly woman, or some one's husband, or some other to get what you want. Same thing with the young boys. Instead of thirsting to get a fulfilled and complete life, they're thirsting after the wrong thing.
But being poor is a tragedy in itself. And I think
yes.
that maybe if you can teach young women and men, I think that if you can teach them that if they are poor, not to have that child, just give it up. Just get that career, get some money in the bank, and then have that child. A lot of things can be spared because, like I said to you before, these are things that we are seeing in the school system, and you and I both know that it's really hard to go hungry in the United States. I'm surprised that they said that people actually go hungry here because there's
yes,
so many programs. And once
yes,
you are in school, you get free. They do give out free meals, so at least a child has an opportunity to get some kind of food in its stomach here in the U.S. But in certain
same thing in Barbados.
Yeah, but in certain countries where there's absolutely no food, it's very hard for that child to do something, just to have
yes,
that
meal. Yes, and I agree, but we're speaking about the kids in Barbados and how out of control they are and how we
mm-hmm.
have 15-year-old giving birth. And most of the
mm-hmm.
time they're for older men, and these men go
mm-hmm.
on and they impregnate somebody else's daughter, and they go on and they go on, where the mothers of these kids are saying no. Where it's the mothers of these kids that knowing that your
what
daughter is
father?
Dating.
Why do you only talk about them?
I'm going to get
where,
to the
where
father.
Where are the fathers?
We're going to get to that point. Where is okay. Why is it that your daughter is dating a man that's selling drugs and you're talking about block boys, where is his employment? An illegal activity? Okay. Where are the fathers? Because you had your first child at 15 by some man who has, you know, I wouldn't even call him a man. That's a reptilian who has impregnated you and has moved on to mm-hmm. someone else. And then you go and picked up another reptilian and you have two kids. And before you know it, you've got five kids for five. Doesn't a bell go off in your head and say, hey, I can't feed three? Why am I? And why are these men walking free? Why are these men walking free? Because we allow them to do it. We allow them to do it because we believe that by having a baby, it's going to keep him. No, it will not keep him because he is not responsible and he will never be responsible. Yes. School children in Barbados can get, you know, I mean, in my day, what the hell? We didn't know nothing about no family planning. It's there. It's there.
Do you think that that should be a major course in Barbados? Do you think that
it should be taught in
children
schools?
Should be,
it should be taught in schools. If you are going to teach a child to accept another lifestyle like homosexuality and transgender behavior, why are you not
mm-hmm.
teaching them sex ed in school? And I do know that some school teaches sex ed. We have to be responsible. We can talk all we want about the men. They don't, very few of them give a rat's behind. We have to demand that respect.
Mm-hmm.
We have to demand that respect. Until we demand the respect and the love and the care that we give, why is it that women will know that a man is married? And they will still continue.
Okay. But do you think a child, especially a female child, can demand respect when her mother have seven children from seven different men?
Yes, if she wants to, she or he will, because you know it's wrong. You're living it. You're seeing it. You're living it. You're seeing it. It's just like telling me, because if I come up with an abusive mother or abusive father, I'm going to let somebody be abusive to me? Hell no. I'm going to kill that son of a
fool. I think your scenarios are on the, when it comes on a scale, you're lucky when you can pull all of it. I'm not saying that it's not great and it's not welcome, but I think it's you're lucky when you can pull out all of a cycle like that. We have run out of time. We have to do
we'll
it again.
We'll continue.
Soon. Thank you. Okay.
Unfortunately, we've come to the end of this episode of Naked Departure Talk Show. If you would like to appear as a guest on the show, simply email our producer at nakeddeparture@gmail.com or message us directly from the show page. We would love to have you as a guest on the show. You can listen to a repeat of this episode at any time in the future. Simply go to our show page at blogtalkradio.com/nakeddeparture and follow the links. I would like to thank our guests, the discussion panel, and the production team. I would also like to thank the listeners for tuning in and giving us an audience. We will now leave you with the sweet jazzy sounds of Trade Winds by Alan Trotman and Jonathan Butler.